6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightvoice, joined virtually by the finally of legal age Anna Forsyth, A4Scythe03. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Chris. Makes me feel good when you say that. Especially as I had to look at my new age for the first time. like, it was the day after I turned 31. Yeah, I was picking up my bib for the BMO 8K, and they asked you to check your age on it. And I was like, yep, that is unfortunately correct. I'm now officially, I felt like I was just on the precipice when I was 30, but now I'm, in my 30s.
I'd like to be in my 30s.
Yeah.
I remember, age is an interesting experience, because I remember when I was in my 20s, I had always sort of perceived myself as young. And then into my 30s, I was young until about 35, at which point I decided I was no longer as young. And now that I'm in my 40s, it's like I don't really care. But I also would describe myself as old, and I have been for a while. So at some point, there was a genesis of when I felt I no longer was one or the other. I just didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, we give you heck for being old because it's fun and because you've been on Canucks Twitter for so long. Just because Canucks Twitter didn't exist.
Canucks Twitter user.
Right before that. But honestly, I'm not that worried. 30s, 40s, plenty of life left. That's...
Yeah.
Still time for the Canucks to win the cup, right?
Yeah, well, that's my only worry. Exactly. My only worry is that once I get the coin cup, that's good. Off the rails so early, though, it's an interesting experience for me when I go to, Baby Forces, different events and what have you, is that I am distinctly older than many of the other young parents, simply because there are, the prototypical, age as to when you start a family is usually around your, early-ish 20s. Not that there's a hard written
rule. That's very young these days, I would say.
In the stereotypical, prototypical sense. Right, so there are some who, when their child is five, as mine is, they're like, oh my goodness, I'm just late 20s. I don't have the energy. And I'm like, BS.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it's true. This is a very city centric terminal mindset, right? Because as soon as you go out to Chilliwack, you're having your first baby before you turn 20, right?
Why do you hate the Valley so much?
I don't hate it. I'm just saying that it's more. Much more common to be a young mom.
How about a young, okay.
And a young
dad. Anna she killed our audience every which way possible. My goodness. You've become very opinionated in your 30s.
Oh, I've always been this way.
speaking of opinionated. Speaking of opinionated, it seems that the Vancouver Canucks social media sphere is very opinionated on the fact that the Vancouver Canucks missed the playoffs. When we last recorded a show, there was a slim chance. There was a possibility. Everything could have gone the Vancouver Canucks way. And I'm not going to say almost did. The Canucks did most of what their part was required of them until it became clearly obvious they didn't have to do it anymore. And then that was that.
So really it wasn't the Canucks' fault. It's Vegas's fault.
Exactly. Nothing that happened this season was the fault of the Vancouver Canucks. So we'll get into the last week that was. We'll obviously talk a little bit, as we've seen, into the early off-season, sort of post-season press conferences have been happening. We'll talk a little bit about, how the season went for a few people. And I don't know, probably talk about the baby knucks out there in Abbotsford, which is an okay place, but it's not Chilliwack. So that's probably a good thing. Anyhow, let's rewind. So the Vancouver Canucks did sort of what they needed to do. I mean, I think the Seattle Kraken, when they came up here to Vancouver, probably had in their game plan, wreck it. Right? You know, Seattle didn't have a whole lot more to play for. And as one generally sees in the NHL, when a team doesn't have something to play for, they look for the moral victories, of which, you know, ending someone's postseason chances sounds like a good way to get the moral victory. Did not occur. In fact, the Vancouver Canucks were playing as if they felt they still had a shot to get in the playoffs. Not only that, they were playing in a way that I would suggest is not indicative of the goaltender they had between the pipes.
I mean, yeah, like, Canucks were just, like, in fairness to them, they were, you know, we got to do our part, right? Yeah. And the bare minimum is beating the Seattle Kraken, which Canucks haven't found too hard this season.
No.
Like, 5-2, 4-2, 5-2, I think, were the results. Maybe there was another 5-2 in there, I don't know. It's not that hard, but, like, you know, the Canucks put on their skate jerseys and made it look good.
So. Skate jersey. I genuinely curious why it didn't come out more frequently this season.
Well, I mean, we know why. Francesco hates them. Doesn't like to be reminded of a previous era that didn't involve him. And clearly it was just a point of, well, we're probably not making the playoffs, so F it. Let's make the fans happy.
Yeah, exactly. But make no, the, I mean, the Vancouver. Happy. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, the like, in my mind, you would use every opportunity you can to roll out that skate jersey just for the hype alone. And, you know, for those who are superstitious, the Vancouver Canucks didn't do too badly in the games they wore the skate. So,
yeah, and it was funny that throughout the year, players would wear, like, as a kind of cool down, warm up kind of outfit of choice, was almost always the black skate attire. So, just an interesting thing to note.
But, you know, in that game against Seattle, Quinn Hughes continued to reinforce that he's apparently a skilled defenseman. We saw JT Miller also continue to add to his season totals. We also got a glimpse of what former Vancouver Canuck Jared McCann can do down there in Seattle. So, all in all, not it was bad. A game.
And Connor Garland, on what he's made of. He's, like, some would say had a disappointing season, which, like, overall, would agree with.
Three points, three apples.
But the last, like, 5-6 games of his season have been pretty damn good.
As I mentioned, as to who was between the pipes, it was Spencer Martin starting the game, backed up by Artur Silas. And that was because the Vancouver Canucks had no NHL goaltender healthy enough. And as we now have learned, one of which that they were going to ride high and dry, who was injured for much of the latter part of the season. Like, this is the thing. If the Vancouver Canucks had made the playoffs, let's say things had gone their way and they would have continued to have ridden Thatcher Demko for that experience, I would imagine. Like, now knowing that Thatcher was hurt for quite some time and finally the injury was too substantial, and I think they also decided that there are chances were much more than slim to none. But how would that have been good for his career and good for the future of the team to have continued to rely upon him and the workload that was going to be necessitated by the way the team plays? Like, I mean,
it's not. And the fact of the matter is like, what if it had worked? Wouldn't that be worse? Like, they make the playoffs and then they have Thatcher Demko and maybe Halak. Maybe Spencer Martin, but, like, either way, not a great backup.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have killed him.
Well, And I think, you know, you and Jay and a few others were talking about, you know, the play of Halak over the course of the season. I know Jay is a big Halak stan. But why was it that Thatcher was played as much as he was? The team didn't have confidence in Halak. Halak did not do himself any service early in the season to exude confidence. In fact, you might suggest it's not his fault, but if the players that are playing in front of you aren't confident in you and they don't play well,
yeah, it's a vicious circle. And I know Jay's made the point that outside of those two starts, he's played some decent hockey, which he has, but like those two starts were so catastrophically bad that it made the organization lose all confidence in him, especially like going into this like crunch time.
I know that the Vancouver Canucks have probably tried to find a way to lighten Thatcher's workload. I mean, probably one of the reasons Halak was the backup goaltender.
Yeah.
They have to find a way to reduce Thatcher's workload next season. Even if the team itself isn't a playoff team, and obviously time will tell if that could even be a possibility, Thatcher can't be the, you know, 90% of the games guy. They need to reduce that because he's what will help them succeed in the long run if they ever get the opportunity to have a long run.
Exactly. Thatcher Demko is a playoff quality goaltender, and you don't want him to be broken down and chronically injured by the time Canucks are good enough for a playoff run.
Yeah. But as the Vancouver Canucks were going and putting up those five goals against the Seattle Kraken, unfortunately for them, another team had its mindset to do something entirely different. And unfortunately for the Vancouver Canucks, the Dallas Stars got the necessary point to eliminate them from playoff contention.
Yeah. I was actually in YVR as this Vegas game was going down, you know, listening to the call. Like, well, I kept up with the Canucks game. The game that I had my BDI fix on was, you know, Dallas-Vegas. And when I saw Jay Cottinger rob the Knights of their sort of potential game-winning goal in the third period there, yeah, that was the final nail in the coffin. But obviously, Canucks playoff hopes have been dying for quite some time.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say hypothetically, you know, Dallas were not to have gotten themselves that point against the Golden Knights. Just if everything else played out as it did, the Canucks were going to be eliminated the following night when the Dallas Stars got the point against the Arizona Coyotes or got the point against the Ducks on the Friday. So, I mean, they actually got two, but the point being is that
it was the longest of shots.
Yeah, Dallas getting a point, and that was it for the Canucks. You know, Dallas did what they needed to do. So,
yeah.
Oh, that takes us into the game that you got to take your dad to, and that was the Los Angeles Kings, where I think I had suggested that I hope the Canucks have something to play for, otherwise it'll be 12-2 LA, and it'll be indicative of what hockey actually looks like. And it wasn't
12-2. It wasn't 12-2. There wasn't a lot of goals or fun in the first part of the game. I took my dad and my stepmom. They have never seen an NHL game before. I had a lot of explaining to do. And being as it was a live game and not a game on TV, you know, you don't see everything. So they say, why did they stop? And I was like, I don't No, I didn't see it. And they just like expect me to have seeing eye over the whole thing.
Okay, so like a stoppage in play and you're like, I don't know what happened?
No, it's mainly like, oh, there's a, like, you see two players at the far end of the ice in the corner and there's a penalty called. And I'm like, yep, I cannot see. That was
Okay. Yeah, I got it. You knew there was a penalty, but yeah. Because you're watching is the play going on and the arm went up over some.
Yeah. Whereas when you're on TV, you're just like, well, I know exactly what happened.
Yeah. Cause the we're seeing the north south view as opposed to the east west or whatever you might've had.
Gotcha. Yeah. And they'll say like, oh, why did they make that decision? I'm like, I can't answer that. It was a dumb decision. You know, like,
yeah.
But it was very funny how quickly they picked up on some stuff. My stepmom is like a Tyler Myers hater now.
Really? Why does she hate Tyler Myers?
I mean, he made a couple of dumb plays. I did point out to her how he wants to be a forward. So every time he was like pinching too much, he was just like, he's so far forward again. And I was like, yeah, he does this.
Oh, so there may have been a subtle influence.
Subtle, though. Like, she was the one picking it out. But yeah, she loves JT Miller. So.
Okay. Does she know that he drops the Fs?
I don't think. Yeah, we didn't hear any. I don't think she'd worry too much one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, the game itself, as you had mentioned, not a whole lot of action in the early going. And then the Vancouver Canucks proceed to give up a couple in the second period to the LA Kings, which is more akin to how I think people may have expected it to play out. So it's quite interesting to see the Vancouver Canucks turn things around in the third period and decide to make it interesting with eventually Besser scoring a goal to win it in overtime. I mean, I could care less either way, to be honest. I mean, if the Canucks won, the Canucks lost. I'm isn't for me, it was the, you know, C4 Canucks playoffs podcast, and it cost me $50 because I banked on them making the playoffs. But Spencer Martin gets another dub, and, you know, the Canucks are all excited and happy to take this win and run with the momentum out there to Alberta, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was a good end to the game. Chasen just kind of was chasing and inserted himself in situations. Like, he kind of managed to get points without looking that spectacular. And Bess had a good game. I'd like to, yeah, it's nice to see him finish strongly, but yeah, I wanted a win just for my parents' sake, but.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I shouldn't discount that. I mean,
but no, it's fine. Like, I don't expect you to be invested in my dad's first hockey experience.
Hey, a potential podcast listener, as far as I'm concerned.
I showed him how to download the podcast, so.
Okay, well, let me know when he's listening, and I could say hi, Anna's dad.
I think he's a podcast downloader rather than a podcast listener, but he'll count.
Okay, that's true. They all
you
count.
Don't draw pictures on the score sheet, right?
But how will he know when I say hi, Anna's dad? Because I can say hi, Anna's mom, and I know your mom will hear it.
I know. My dad will just have to feel it in his heart.
But the Vancouver Canucks got themselves a couple of wins. That was the Canucks season awards night. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. This then has them go into Edmonton to wrap up the season against a team warming up for a postseason run that they hope to do a lot with. And again, the Vancouver Canucks actually didn't do too badly. Not used to a Vancouver Canucks team that can still compete and play well when their season's long since done. Not something that we've been able to say a lot of with this sort of iteration or this era of Canucks hockey.
Yeah. I mean, the whole game could have been hashtagged pass it to JT. They're pretty desperate for him to get his 100 points, which, of course,
spoiler alert,
he didn't.
Nope.
You know. 99 points, but 101. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was still exciting, especially Hughes. Like, man, can that guy walk the line? Man, can he drive play? Like, very exciting, like, player. So that's just one bright spot, right? You've got to pick out your bright spots this season.
The thing that I found most interesting, though, was the shootout and the fact that they went through 400 shooters before such time as a goal gets scored.
I'm curious if they work on that, like how much they work on shootouts, because Canucks are bad at them. Like, Bruce is bad at picking players, don't get me wrong, but like, they're not good.
Well, so, I mean, Petey got his first shot was stopped. JT was stopped. Brock stopped. Pod Colson stopped. Garland stopped. And then OEL got an opportunity.
Oh, my God. How bad was that shootout attempt?
stopped. But, you know, in fairness, though, OEL made it, had made the goaltender save his shot, whereas Nuge, he missed on the first attempt. Kyler Yamamoto missed on attempt number five. And Tyson Berry missed on attempt number nine. So, like, is you ain't scoring if you ain't putting it on the net, right?
I mean, that is true. You just have to give it a bit more welly or something than OEL did. But
anyhow, point is point, and the Vancouver Canucks found themselves finishing their season outside looking in once again.
I did see Drance's tweet that, like, it's one of the highest playoff, one of the highest point percentages of the Canucks have ever got, without making the playoffs. Like, that made me sad.
Well, like, I think if I recall, we were suggesting 90 points might be sufficient to get in at the start of the season, right? And it was what, 96 points, I think, on the season.
92.
92. Okay, sorry. But 96 was what got you in then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, I mean, thank you, Jim. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, he got us there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it is exactly who we thought the Canucks were. But I guess the thing to think about is they're in a much better position in terms of who we have building our future. Right?
Yes. I was going to say, you were leading me on and I was about to say, are we? But then you put a bow on it and I agree. It's the who we have building our future. I thought you were going to say they're much better with where they are. And I'm like, are they? Like, I'm still thinking there's stuff that needs to get sorted out. We'll get into that in half full, half empty and all that jazz. But yeah, no, you're right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. 100%.
Thanks.
Gold star, Anna.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, I'm the positive one, really.
That is true. You have been positive all throughout the season. And my negativity has been what is holding us back. Speaking of negativity, we're going to take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? That because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Did you catch any of the postseason pressers?
I haven't seen any of them yet, apart because I've seen clips, but I haven't seen the full ones yet. Obviously, I've heard about the headline with Brock, right? Apparently, Brock has spoken through his agent today, and he's not upset that the question was asked, but definitely made for an uncomfortable watch.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe that's just, like, sadness is sadness, and...
Yeah. So, for those listening to the show, if for some reason you're not aware of what transpired during Brock Besser's postseason press conference. I don't know exactly, end of season presser is what I think they call it. Ben Kuzma for the Vancouver Province Vancouver Sun had asked about the status of Besser's father and if it had been weighing heavily on him. And again, for those that don't know, Brock Besser's father has been experiencing an onset of dementia. And as Brock, in his answer, addressed, had gotten particularly bad over the course of the season, and it's weighed heavily on him and his family, as I am sure anyone could appreciate is going to be the case. Watching Brock answer that question was tough. And it it set off, like, one, the question being asked, but then also the experience that Brock had to go through to provide the answer set off a significant debate. And I think part of the problem was Kuzma actually prefaces his question by saying, I'm not sure, like, I think he said something like, I'm not sure if I should ask this, which I am of the belief when you say, I'm not sure if I should, you kind of know the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like almost trying to like say, I did think about how this would come off, but I'm asking it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem, but then, you know, the media play a role. They're there to get information and a story to us. And I think from a fan perspective, as I have, I appreciate being able to connect to the players as people. You know, I think we too often place these players on pedestals and expect, you know, more out of them or them to be different or them not to be us. But really, I think it's a much more genuine experience, you know, hearing, you know, some of the challenges they deal with. Now, this particular one is obviously a whole different level. And having heard sort of through Brock's agent that he has okay with the question, it just caught him off guard. I'm, you know, maybe not as worked up as others might be about it. But, you know, we're the same group of people who would go and say, oh, you know, all hockey players do is give us cliche answers, or you're not asking the tough questions, media. And
yeah, no, I'm not like worked up about it. I will say that I don't think it makes me feel a bit uncomfortable to just see it being asked, considering it's like, I'm not against like when, you know, an emotional part comes out in a press conference, everyone reporting it, you got to, but like, that seemed almost like there's no real story here. So let's like find one by.
Well, and I, that might be it.
Response. And I think that was probably subconscious. I don't think Kuz was like deliberately trying to upset Brock, but.
He just had an angle in his head. I obviously don't know anything because I'm not connected in any which way, shape, or form. But is it possible that, you know, Kuzma may have had some understanding and was trying to almost like surface something to help the player? Like, you know, where it's like, we know what you've been struggling with. You know, let others know that despite these struggles, look at what you were able to do. Because I could see that being it was where we're trying to elevate you. I don't know, but I think there is potential there, especially having seen, and this is the thing is seeing the reaction of others within the media space sort of today, since that question was asked, they know things as a collective unit and there's sort of, you know, what's on the record, what's off the record. And there are ways to lead information to help not tell the story, but, you know, elevate a player, elevate a circumstance and sort of open that door. It's like helping someone open that door. Cause his agent had said, you know, yeah, Brock doesn't really, you know, talk to me about that a lot, but I think it will do him well to have been able to express this.
Yeah.
And there is some, you know, therapeutic connection to being able to get something like that out in the open.
Yeah. I mean,
doesn't make it any easier.
It doesn't, but it's like, obviously there was a lot of support for Brock, from the fan base and from media, you know, following that vulnerability, that you showed that. So I get it also from a reporter point of view, hockey players are really boring. So it's hard to get an interesting response.
You know, presser itself, you know, we heard much of the same thing from most of the players. But Bo Horvat was asked a, you know, question as to, you know, being the captain of the team. He's been with the organization for some time now, what it's like. And, you know, his answer was very candid. I hate the fact that, you know, we've not made the playoffs, only done so as I think once in seven seasons. I think he said we've missed the playoffs six of the seven seasons. I hate it. I want to be in the playoffs. I want to win a cup. I want to do that here in Vancouver. You know, when you ask me, you know, what are we going to work on in the off season? It, you know, I hate that we have to continue to tell you, oh, we're going to try to get ourselves better, because that's what we've been doing apparently. And it's not been good enough. Like Bo Horvat was saying what I think many people have been articulating, expressing, and talking about, even to someone who were to be extremely positive and like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, this is Jim Benning. He was all that. He's done all the right things. The captain of the team right now, the guy who's in the room that none of us are, is suggesting to you and I and everyone else who is listening that what has been happening has not been working.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate that, because Bo Horvat can be a bit devoid of emotion at times. Not in a cold way, but more in a slightly robotic way. Yeah. It's good to see that, you know, he's just as frustrated as we are and plans to make things better. Also, good news from Bo Horvat is that although he, like, his injury was bad and painful, it's, you know, straightforward, hopefully, touch wood, in the healing process. So
6 to 8 week recovery from a broken bone.
I mean, broken bones are bad, don't get me wrong, but I think as far as broken bones go, it seems pretty straightforward. So
it also afforded him the opportunity to be present without having to have some wild crazy travel schedule for the birth of his daughter.
Yeah. I mean,
not that I'm trying to suggest again, broken bones good and all that, but there is a silver lining. It's funny.
He's like played, like, obviously his first kid Gunner was meant to be born in the off season, and because of COVID kind of wasn't, but he got to be there briefly and then had to fly out again. So, yeah, it is good that he can just be there as a new dad. And he's enough challenges being a new dad whilst being injured. So,
yeah. A little off the rails, but somewhat relevant to the point of the conversation. I find it interesting that the players and, you know, their spouses – do have to plan for things like this. Like,
yeah, obviously it doesn't always work out. Like Alex Sparrow's, like, well, somehow it did work out, but like making it back just in time to see his baby been born after game 7 against Chicago.
But like the amount of time. So like, cause what you're doing, I mean, think of, you know, I might plan what I'm going to be doing for meals this week. What they're planning for is like X number of weeks well out, and here's the window as to which we're going to, you know, coordinate our schedules.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
I think so.
Because you know how they talk about like movie love scenes in movies and the way like how coordinated, how like regimented it is, you know, room full of people in it. It's not very romantic. Once you go behind the scenes, and hopefully the product ends up being more romantic on screen. But yeah, it does somewhat take the romance out of it when you have to, you know, add 9 months all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so yeah, here is the, yeah, and see, the thing is when you do the, when you look at the calendar, right, there is the short off season window, but then when you count 9 months back, and it's, that's just not like, the off season.
Do you know 9 months from the off season, whether you're going to make the playoffs, whether like what's going to happen?
So what if you really
traded in the middle of that,
yeah, exactly. Like if you really want to be precise, you're essentially not, you're aiming for like this 2 month window, and 9 months back, it's like, anyhow. Back to Bo Horvat. when I heard him speak, it reinforced to me that, you know, there are players that have a give a shiznit meter, and they are expressing in the way that they can to say that change was necessary. And I'm hoping that this off season is a sign of change. I know it's not going to be easy because of what was left on the,
right
on the cap, and ultimately the flexibility that the team will have will be restricted by the contracts that they're inheriting on top of the contracts they need to sort out. So,
right. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, again, just to reiterate the, like, it does seem like how welcome the change was, like, Petey's response of how much Bruce has sort of helped with the turnaround in his game in the season was pretty telling as well. But yeah, just to go on to the offseason, which you were starting to talk about, that's the thing. Like, there's so much that they can't change, right? Like, you can try and wangle some trades, but, you know, some contracts will be very, very, very difficult to shift, and you can't control that. That's why you kind of want to give, like, them to have the best chance possible. So if you... I know we seem like a single issue podcast, but like if you re-sign JT Miller, that just takes some of your like itty bitty amount of freedom away, right?
Yeah.
It really restricts what you're doing and your plan. And I get that it's tempting. Well, he had a 99-point season, but like he had a 99-point season. Cash in.
Well, and that sort of, you know, I was going to tie in the fact that when we look at the awards JT Miller cleaned up, he is at an all-time high probably for the value that he might acquire on the market. I completely agree that getting rid of him, and I mean getting rid of him is not the best way to phrase it, but having him depart, even if it were to be a great deal that gives you the flexibility in your cap and provides you some young prospects that may or may not work out or are showing the great potential or picks or whatever, where are the 99 points coming from? Right? Like a healthy Petey. I mean, Petey had a tough season, but as we now know, took him a while to be confident, but basically I think be healthy enough to find his confidence. Quinn Hughes could probably put up a few more, but on the blue line the Vancouver Canucks have, I think there's going to be a reliance on Quinn Hughes, despite having a pretty solid season, to be more than he is today.
But I completely agree with you, but at the same time, do we need someone to have a 99-point season? Like, if you...
not if you have those points distributed through the rest
no,
of the
but
team,
like,
I guess.
What I'm saying is, we just missed the playoffs. If you don't have, and we're like still dealing with several large contracts, maybe we're just not in the position. Like, maybe we just finish like five places lower in the standings. Like, maybe that's the team we are. Like, maybe it's tough love, but you kind of get the team that you can afford to sign. And if you can't afford to sign a replacement for a 99-point player, then you're just not a team that's ready to compete for the cup. And again, that's all right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Is it?
It's all right by me.
For how, but that thing is for how long? And I mean, there are like, are we satisfied that now that the change has happened, that this team isn't close enough? I think this is where I was chatting with a friend of mine, and I had said, I'm almost of the opinion that if the Vancouver Canucks were to say, yeah, we need to go and blow this up, it's the only way we're going to get out of this, we're going to blow things up. I think I would, I'd hate it. I really would. And I think it would probably cost them many more fans than they would be willing to accept. But there would be a number who'd say, okay, I get it. You blew it up. It's going to take time. I can take the time.
Yeah,
but it's difficult when you've been saying the same thing. Like from an ownership perspective, how many times has Francesco told us, oh, we're so close, we've got these great opportunities? Well, taking the words of Bo Horvat, he's been saying that six of the last seven seasons.
Exactly. And it's so hard, and we feel like we're retreading old ground here. But, you know, Canucks had a point where they had Quinn Hughes and Pedersen on entry-level contracts. That kind of comes from a team that hasn't done well enough and has drafted fairly high and done well with that draft, with those draft picks. Obviously they didn't all pay off. See Ollie Levy, but that was another high draft pick. So that, you know, they had 3 years of high draft picks, turned them into two good players. That could have been the start of something. Obviously, signing a bunch of aging veterans to large contracts aren't the supporting pieces that we would think of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is they managed their life cycle wrong. They managed their window wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see now that it's really hard to give up on it completely.
Well, and if they do, giving up costs you a lot.
Yeah.
Costs the team a lot, costs the organization a lot. The Vancouver market, when it comes to fans for sports in general, very fair weather.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that. I live here. I've lived here all my life. And that's not knocking people who remain fans, but our expectations are always high, and there's so much that we can go and redirect our fandom towards. We're almost spoiled that way. So,
but then again,
it'll be in,
yeah, there is like a route that isn't blowing up the whole team. That's, you know, not re-signing Jason Miller.
Retooling.
I know, like, we've heard it so many times, but, you know, don't re-sign JT. Try and give up some form of, some decent player in order to get rid of one of OEL or Tyler Myers. Sign some supporting pieces, and maybe in 2 to 3 years, you have another shot.
Yeah.
But we're not going to win it next year. Like, let's just...
You're horribly negative, Anna. So my negative. Goodness. You're costing us listeners again.
But we don't have Jim Benning telling us that this is a playoff team, so maybe we don't have to be a playoff podcast next year.
Okay. Fair enough. Bruce Boudreau, still without a deal. But the interesting thing about Bruce, I think if a world was a simple place, Bruce was coming back and he'd have had an extension. Having sort of listened to what others have been saying, watching Bruce in his press conference, although I would expect nothing different, but he genuinely seemed to enjoy his time, like his time here. He thanked the fans. He thanked the media. Really said it was fun. You know, everyone treated him well. Really wants to be back. I think it really comes down to whether or not the organization wants to re-up with Bruce to give him what Bruce wants to get. Which, you know, you can look at it many different ways. But Bruce Boudreau was hired as a coach before the current front office was in place. And generally speaking, a front office usually wants to have control over these decisions because a lot rides on their jobs. But I think at this point, I think Bruce is back.
Yeah.
I think it's just now a matter of sorting out how many I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Exactly. I think in the simplest possible way, Canucks want Bruce back and Bruce wants to be back. And that's not to 100% guarantee that he will be back. It's more just like, can they find the right option where they're both happy? And I think on balance, I would say yes, and that he comes back, well, but it's not a definite.
Yeah, it sounds like the point of work, I won't say contention. I think the point of work is just the term.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in theory, you know, the Canucks, what is the term? Bruce comes back next season. The Canucks hold that card. They have a team option. But generally look to get those things sorted out before, although as we've seen with the Vancouver Canucks in the past with Travis Green, sometimes it's perfectly fine to let that coach twist in that wind.
Yeah. I mean, they almost lost Ian Clark, right?
Yeah. Replaceable. Not that good. Didn't teach, you know, Adam Gaudette how to score against Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, I mean, Thatcher Demko was singing Ian's praises once again in the end of season presser, right? So
it's amazing the number of goaltenders that have come through Vancouver and have sung Ian Clark's praises. Not all of them. But most.
I think, just like as a quick sidebar, that although Holtby, I think, really didn't enjoy his time with Ian Clark, I think, like, he eventually did say that he learned a lot and respected him. I don't think it worked necessarily.
No, it was I think it was a personality thing, right?
Yeah.
Holtby was coming in with an established, like, the thing that about Ian Clark and Holtby that I think sort of plays out in a similar fashion is sort of when Roberto came to Vancouver and how, you know, it took a while before he warmed up to the idea of these different ideas and different philosophies. I think with Holtby over time, there may have been an opportunity, but unfortunately there was no time and therefore no opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, now everyone's seen the mic top of Ian Clark working Demko at the practice. Like, you can see why he's tired, right?
Yeah. So anyhow, Vancouver Canucks head into this off season. Lots of questions that remain unanswered, and hopefully will get answered as things go on. Draft obviously happens late in June. We've got a whole lot of time until then, and there's free agent frenzy and everything. And then the next thing you know, it's another season. So heyo, it's going to happen soon. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the rest of the league, because apparently the NHL does not stop when the Canucks don't make the playoffs.
That's strange, this,
yeah, it was news to me.
Just found like, that out. I was, you know, more games on NHL.com. That was weird.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It was so weird. But just to sort of, you know, quickly run down here. On the West, you got Calgary taking on the Dallas Stars. Edmonton's taking on the Kings. The Avs are taking on the Predators. Sorry, and the Wild are taking on the St. Louis Blues. Over on the East, you've got the Panthers taking on the Capitals, the Leafs and the Lightning, the Hurricanes and the Bruins, and the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Did you do a playoff bracket yet, Chris?
I didn't. Because, like, again, like we were talking a little bit about this in IOTA, but, like, NHL playoffs are not really something I'm at all interested in when the Canucks aren't involved. Like I can't get into it. I will watch, like, of all the sports I follow, this is the only one that I'm just, if once I lose my interest, I have none, zero.
Wow.
So
I think I definitely used to be like that, but now I'm like, oh, I can still watch some hockey. I'll do it.
I might throw it on if there's nothing else on the TV and I need some noise while I'm doing something else, but
yeah, I will say I'm not enjoying the fact that in the first round, as a Canucks fan, I kind of have to root for the Hurricanes and the Lightning, neither of whom I like. Lightning, I might have liked a bit more before, you know, the cap space cup and them causing probably another wave of the pandemic in Florida. But
okay. In fairness, down in Florida, I don't think ever been a reduction of a wave.
Yeah,
it's been true. A wave.
They were just like the crest of one with their pandemic parade. But yeah, like, I don't like rooting for the Hurricanes either after they signed a certain racist. So don't enjoy that, but I do enjoy watching the Bruins lose, which they did today.
So you're choosing the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, exactly.
Those situations.
Yeah. Not that races are like better than the Bruins, but maybe.
Who do you have winning the cup? It sounds like you did a bracket.
I picked the Lightning. No, sorry. I didn't. I picked the Panthers. Sorry, wrong Florida team. Picked the Panthers.
Panthers over
the Avs.
Avs, okay. Because I've seen quite a few different brackets, and it's a combination of four teams, which, let's be honest, isn't a stretch if you were to think on placement. But it's out of the East. People are picking Florida, St. Louis, Florida and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And out of the West, they're picking Calgary and the Avalanche.
Yeah, and I think that's my finals right there.
Yeah. If I were to be a betting man, I probably bet on the Lightning, but if I were to just go with my heart, Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the Avs just mainly because they're successful and young.
I hate success. I mean, I'm a Canucks fan. What is that?
But I can't pick anything or anyone I hate out of Colorado, and I do like watching them play. I mean, Nate McKinnon doesn't sound like the most fun as a teammate. Like, if you ever get caught going to McDonald's, God help you. But they're really fun to watch. So I wouldn't hate it if they won, but I just have a feeling it's going to be the East again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the East is definitively a better division than the West has been. It's like this big shift has now taken place. That's not to suggest there aren't good teams in the West. And the thing about the NHL playoffs is typically the best teams are the ones who will make the run. To me, like, who out of the West could probably do it? Calgary or Colorado? Personally, I don't want the Calgary Flames to win another Stanley Cup.
No, I know people are desperate for another Canadian team to win. When the Jets were,
I could care less.
I don't care that much. When the Jets were good, I wouldn't have minded them winning. I think I'm kind of in the minority of that, but I actually don't mind the Jets. But other Canadian team, I don't want to see win a cup anytime soon. Habs, I don't mind, I guess.
Well, okay, so the Canadian team part. So some of the feeling that I have is that when the Vancouver Canucks were the Canadian team left, Canada was cheering against the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, and I never understood this because we didn't see this vitriol for the Vancouver Canucks like we had seen in previous seasons. And I mean, there have been a number of Canadian teams that have made the NHL Stanley Cup final during the period of time since the last Cup. Side note, did you know that Gary Bettman, I did not realize this, but it literally was the season that Gary Bettman took over was the season that I think it was Montreal had last won a cup. And so since Gary has been in charge, like when people made that comment, I was like, nah, man, it's not that Gary hates Canada. No, they're just correlating the fact that no Canadian team has won. Anywho, I don't feel that Canada should have to cheer for any Canadian team. Like, let's be real. Who is Canadian on that team? Probably some players, but there are Canadians throughout the entire league. That's the number one nationality simply because of, you know, the players. Two, do I want a team that I don't cheer for to win a Stanley Cup, and will I actively support them? No. I'm not actively supporting the Florida Panthers, but hey, if I was being forced to choose, I kind of don't hate Florida.
Yeah. I don't hate Florida.
That's sort of like, that's ultimately when I say I'm going by my heart, who do I not dislike and has a reasonable shot, right? Like, I don't want to see the Bruins win another cup because I'm still bitter. I hold grudges. I don't care about the Flames, the Oilers, or the Toronto Maple Leafs winning a cup because I know all three of those fan bases will probably take that cup as they should, celebrate it, but then use it as the, hey, look at how awesome we are to me as a Vancouver Canucks fan.
I mean, yeah. It's very easy to dislike Edmonton. They're badly run organization. Connor McDavid is amazing at hockey, but very boring. Like, they're easy to dislike. Calgary took all our players. So, again, easy to dislike. I think Ottawa, I was genuinely rooting for them when they made the Eastern Conference Finals. What was that, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Whenever that was.
Cheering on the Habs?
No, I wasn't.
The most recent team
I
to
wasn't
make
not. Again, they stole all our players. Well, they stole one player. But if they had won the cup, like, in Carey Price era, like, didn't they make the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston?
Eastern, yeah.
Whenever that was. If they had won the cup under Carey Price, like, I wouldn't be mad about it. But now I'm not going to cheer them on.
Anyhow, speaking of cheering a playoff team on, how about them Abbotsford Canucks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I know everyone was glued to after the Canucks got eliminated, the adult Canucks got eliminated from playoffs. Everyone was glued to, you know, the race to see who would host the first round of the playoffs. I know everyone was dialed into that, but if you happen to miss it, Abbotsford Canucks didn't make the wins they needed at the end of the season in order to get that home ice advantage. So if you don't remember how the Calder Cup playoffs work, which I didn't, the first round is only three games. It's best of three.
And not only is it only three games, but where does Abbotsford play the three games?
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't get their home ice advantage, so in Bakersfield, California. I mean, they love playing in California, if recent evidence is something to go by. But yeah, I think you like some people might be worried because of how Abbey finished the season, but you'll have to remember that a lot of their players were up in Vancouver trying to make the playoffs with Vancouver. You know, they played without Nick Patan for weeks. They played without Sheldon Dries. They played without their goalie, Spencer Martin. Obviously, Mikey DiPietro's Guppy's had a couple of rough games, so I think he's going to find himself on the bench, at least to start here in Bakersfield. Yeah, Will Lockwood's been up with the Canucks as well, and then they'll get the boost of Vasily Podkolzin, who we're hoping to have a really stellar run. So I'm not too worried. Playoffs should start today, as we're listening to this, Tuesday, 7 p.m. So there's some good deals on AHL TV, so I might have encouraged you to buy some playoff tickets. Now I'm going to encourage you to take advantage of AHL TV, unless you happen to be based in and around Bakersfield, which I'm not even sure where it is. Somewhere in California.
Is
it near LA?
Or no, I'm confused. California is a big state.
Yeah, right.
It stretches north and south here, so it is. Okay, it's so it's north of LA.
Right.
It's essentially
north and inland, right, of LA.
Yeah, it's like I was going to say like almost center, but maybe a little bit south of center. Like Fresno is probably the center of the state-ish.
Right.
But yeah. Anywho, I was just looking at the Calder Cup playoff format. So there's five rounds.
Yeah.
The first round is best of three. The division semifinals, which is the second round, and the division finals, which is the third round, are both best of five. The conference finals and the Calder Cup finals are both best of seven.
Yeah.
Rounds four and five. But it didn't occur to me that they actually have an unbalanced divisional structure. And based on the unbalanced divisional structure, you have teams who have to play in to the division semifinals. So that's the first round in some cases. In others, there's only like I'm looking here, and the Central Division only has two teams playing in the first round. Fourth and fifth seed, as does the North, fourth and fifth. Yeah, like.
Yeah. So if you look at the playoff schedules, like, yeah, it's already set like half of the second round, so to speak. Yeah. So it's a bit chaotic, let's say. But yeah, I don't know. When Canucks were bad, I really enjoyed watching Utica go on their playoff run. They got defeated in the Calder Cup finals to, I believe, I want to say LA's, baby LA Kings, whoever they were at the time. So.
Stockton? I don't know.
I don't think they existed at the time. But someone in the West. But yeah, that was exciting. So if you want to watch Podkolzin doing Podkolzin and things, and hopefully, you know.
And the Sheldons.
And the Sheldons. Hashtag Team Sheldon. Doing bits and other Petey. Yeah, that's why you'll find them.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe there'll be tickets available for a second round matchup in a best of five where they'll play whoever they play, because winners are reseeded after the first round.
Yeah.
I like how, so if you go to the Calder Cup, or actually it's on the Abbotsford Canucks website, but if you look at, they have brackets and you're like, oh, this is cool. But the thing is that they're not actually well connected. Reseeding takes place, but it doesn't actually take place by the looks of things in all of the brackets. Reseeding's only going to take place in the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Yeah.
Because of how many teams make the playoffs. Anyhow, weird. But here we are at the end of a weird episode. Speaking of weird. It's been a slice. I mean, we obviously got to record a whole lot of, you know, C4 Canucks playoff podcast episodes this season.
I mean, it's a C4 episode, and it's happening during the playoffs.
Sure. And in theory, if you consider every one of the episodes that we recorded this season, save for this one, and this one technically is the season is over, every single episode that we recorded, the Vancouver Canucks had a possibility of being in the playoffs.
Yeah. They made it, what, 79.66 games throughout the season, still in with a chance.
And we were, we recorded the last episode of the regular season last week. And at that point in time, the Vancouver Canucks had a chance. That's a playoff podcast in my mind.
Yeah. And now we're in brackets, baby Canucks playoff podcast. So,
yeah. But speaking of the podcast, as is our usual situation, once the postseason runs into action, if the Vancouver Canucks don't happen to be in it, we draw back on the show, and that is the case here. We will not be back for another week and a half, in 2 weeks. I mean, essentially we'll be recording on the 16th of May, which means you'll get the next episode go live on the 17th of May. If you're listening to this episode and it's not the 17th of May, it's when you're going to get the next one. Just saying. But we will, like, if something huge drops, like, and it's like, we need to talk about this, we may interject with an episode in between. But, like, you know, as far as sort of timing is concerned. Episode. Yeah, yeah. But it'll be every 2 weeks now until closer to the start of the next regular season. So, September. That's not to suggest we won't be talking about things. We do have the idea in our head that we'll get some guests on, kind of like we did last off season. I think it would be good to maybe get John on to talk about, hey, so our teams didn't make the playoffs. What went so wrong?
Yeah, Seattle Kraken. We promised so much and failed to deliver on that Stanley Cup promise.
Yeah, but you know, if you have an idea of what you want to hear us talk about or someone we want to talk to, let us know. I mean, we are, as a podcast, always geared towards getting voices on the show that you may not hear elsewhere. Not to suggest that they're not deserving. It's just that we want to be, you know, different, which is kind of like what we already are. But we want to be more different than our different.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Differenter, right?
Yeah, differenter. We want to be the, I'm going to, next year's, you know, tagline will be the longest running differenter podcast.
Kind of a mouthful, but we don't shy away
from
that.
Well, I dropped the best mediocre. I mean, should it be the longest running best mediocre differenter Canucks podcast?
We've got playoffs.
Oh, Canucks playoffs podcast. Good. I'm running out of characters on Twitter. Maybe Elon can fix that for us, right?
Oh God.
Anywho, if you haven't joined in the conversation yet, please do so in Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. I did check the C4 text line, and I begged and I pleaded and I said, please, please, please send us a message. Guess what, Anna?
No messages.
No one sent a message. Mm. But if you wanted to send a message now, 604-200-6201. That's 604-200-6201.
Or for our international listeners, speakpipe.com/C4podcast. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And what else? Otherwise, you can get in touch Twitter at the C4 podcast, at the C4 podcast on Facebook. And where do all the cool people hang out in the off season, Chris?
The golf course.
Okay, but like the virtual version of the golf course.
Reddit.
You're not picking up when
about Discord.
Putting down. Okay. Well,
I already said Discord dial okay, for podcast. Well, do you want me to say that again?
Yes, because it's where the cool people hang out. I mean, okay, right now,
well, cool people also hang out at Discord, discord.io/C4podcast, which I let off before I started talking about the reviews. Look, we're already in the off season. No. We're in shambles.
Yeah.
It's just things are falling apart here. We're like the Vancouver Canucks big club. Maybe Jim Benning has become a producer of our show.
Oh God, can you imagine? I mean, I'm guessing he's bored, but he can't be that bored, right?
I mean, maybe I should reach out to his people. I don't know. Do you know who his people are? I don't.
No, and I don't hope to know.
Yeah. Speaking of golf, still trying to make the C4 Alpen happen. Stay tuned. Haven't got all the details sorted out, but we thought it'd be cool to have a little, you know, get together with you, me, and all of our closest listeners. And I say you, it's the proverbial Anna, but also you are listeners. So really it's the double duty you.
And, you know, beer and golf clubs. What could go wrong?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yeah, any final words of wisdom there, Anna?
I'm going to go off the rails. I'm sure all of our listeners are politically aware and in tune, but it was a pretty sad day for American democracy today, if you want to look at the Supreme Court's decision. So if you're so inclined and you have the disposable income, there are a lot of organizations that could use your help right about now. So you can check my Twitter retweets for maybe some guidance there. And if you're not so inclined, that's fine. But that's my suggestion. If you had money set aside for Canucks playoff tickets, which would be incredibly hopeful by this point, but yeah, there could be some good you could do with that money.
I will need to go and look into what's going on, because I have been completely disconnected today and can't say I know. So
bad stuff.
I will do that. Anywho, on behalf of Anna, A4Say03, myself, Chris, at Light4, signing off the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com with We Out.